some of our business aspects and doing the 10,000-foot view and being able to look down and see a bigger picture than what you can when you're on the bottom. But when we talk about celestial things, it's no longer a 10,000-foot view. It must be like a 10-micro-year view. I mean, way up there, right? So we're going to dig into God's Word. I'm going to be in quite a few verses. You can try to follow along, but we've got a lot of things to cover this morning. And let's see where we're at, if I can get this working. Yeah, two kingdoms. So, you know, what is man's life made up of? One person said that a man's life is made up of 20 years of his mother asking him where he's going, 50 years of his wife asking him where he's been, and 1 hour at his funeral when everyone wonders where he's gone. So this morning I've learned better not to talk about the mother or the grandmother in this story. We're going to be talking about God's kingdoms. We're going to look at two kingdoms this morning. Before we get into God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us this morning. I just thank you that your Holy Spirit is present here with us, that you've prepared the Word, you've put all of the pieces together with the folks that have put the music together and all of these pieces, and we thank you for that. We thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your Word this morning. Allow our hearts to be open to your teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be talking about two kingdoms. The first piece I'm going to talk about is the kingdom revealed. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9 to begin with. In the beginning, God created the world and he placed mankind as his representatives in charge of caring for it. So within the scriptures here, I'm going to see if I can get my buttons to work. Maybe it's slow. There we go. Now it buzzed. There we go. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden where he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. So then the Lord God took the man and he put them in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. There we go. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So God is the creator, he's the king, and he delegates his authority to mankind. So we noticed here that he created man, he put him in the garden, and it's a perfect garden, all of the things that they would like to eat or need to eat. He made for man a helper, His wife, Eve. But let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God created man, he put him in the garden, gave him everything to eat, and then he gave them a job to do, actually several jobs, several tasks here. And we look at words like subdue it and have dominion in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. They describe how man is to use God's authority to bring the earth to its fullness. So God had a plan. He was putting pieces together. He was explaining how it wanted to go. But something else happened here in the midst of this. Let's look at the second kingdom gets revealed here. So Satan is the ruler of this second kingdom. Lucifer is his angelic name. He was a powerful angel, but was cast out of heaven because of iniquity that was found in him. And then one third of the angels followed him. He's a real personality. The Bible speaks of Satan as a person, not just an evil influence. The Bible refers to him as the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case of the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we look at this guy. He's the commander of this second kingdom. He's the prince of the power of air. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now this is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And he's also referred to as a great dragon, an old serpent, the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we're starting to put together this picture of two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God. God put man together in the garden to love and sup with him. And now this other kingdom's going to come into play here because this kingdom is the direct opposite of the kingdom of God. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. So this reveals that Satan has a seat on earth, a specific location that he resides. Verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou shalt holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So we look at two kingdoms, and we look at this kingdom of Satan, and we can ask, what is Satan's plan? Well, we're going to reveal that. We're going to look at both of these kingdoms this morning. But I think that when it's all said and done, when you walk away from here, you need to realize that Satan is our enemy. Satan's plan is deception. And this is number one weapon. He has invented every false religion, philosophy, theory, and ideas in this world. Think of all the false religions of the world. Think of idolatry, communism, evolution, and humanism. All of these were devised to deceive and confuse people from believing the truth. So let's take a look at what happened in the garden, and let's see if our enemy had his way here. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3. verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want you to see and pay attention to the subtle deceptions taking place from this serpent. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So what we just looked at was what the Bible calls sin, the first step of sin. Sin's when we depart from God's plan and we go our own way. Sin's what leads us to brokenness. And this results in death entering into the world. So when we look at this perfect garden that God put together for Adam and Eve, for them to enjoy his presence, to enjoy their life, and to have a particular job to do and a task to do, this commander of this second kingdom got involved and took man away from God. God created this perfect world without brokenness, but now we see brokenness. Man opened the door to sin and death, leading to this brokenness. We can look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and John chapter 10:10 as a warning. Be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So just as Adam and Eve were tempted by this evil person called Satan, he hasn't given up just with Adam and Eve. His attacks are on us. And his attacks are sudden, and they're deceitful. So we look at this and we see two kingdoms in an epic battle for each of us. There's a lot of movies out there looking at good versus evil and evil losing, and you could look at Star Wars or some of the other movies with it, where there's two kingdoms fighting one another. This isn't quite like this when we're talking about the spiritual kingdoms. We're talking about the battle for our minds. What's going on up there? Where does sin start? Starts in our minds. Where does the knowledge of God start? In our minds. So these two kingdoms in battle here, the kingdom of sin and the kingdom of God, everybody here is subject to one of those kingdoms. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's true, you're subject to one of these kingdoms. But what's interesting is that you cannot be subject to both of these kingdoms. So let's take a look at what we already know. God created man. He created woman in his own image so that he could have a loving relationship with them. And because of one man's sin, all of humanity is born into the kingdom of sin. So because of Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. Now everybody that got born after that got born into the kingdom of sin. Our relationship with God is separation from God. Believe it or not, we're born God's enemies. So we've looked at both kingdoms, and at one point in our lives, we're going to have to recognize that there's more than just the kingdom that we're born into. So we've got the kingdom of the Son, because there's only two spiritual kingdoms, and we've got the power of darkness. So in God's word, he tells us that we all know that he is here, or that he, by his creation around us, we know him. He planted the desire for himself in us when we were created. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so are they are without excuse. So everyone ever that's ever been born is without an excuse to recognize that the kingdom of God exists. Since we all have a prior knowledge of the kingdom of God, we're able to choose that which we will serve. So one of the things that God did for us is he gave us the ability to choose. He didn't force us into one direction or another. He gave all of mankind the option to choose which kingdom they want to be in. If we choose the kingdom of sin, our lives will look like the rest of Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 21 through and go through 32. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for that what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So in looking at these two kingdoms, which one do you desire to live out eternity in? Kingdom of sin, we just read about, or the kingdom of God? Where is your spirit this morning? If you choose the kingdom of God, he will give you eternal life with him. You can die to the kingdom of sin, and die with Christ, be buried with Christ, be raised again in a new life with Jesus Christ, and join God's spiritual kingdom. Or you can choose the kingdom of sin and live eternity with the enemy of your soul. It's time to make the choice. You know, it's interesting is that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can become a Christian and enter the kingdom with God. And then we can let it stop there and not pursue God. And then we can come to church every Sunday or maybe miss a few and not live God in our lives during the week. And the kingdom of sin is fine with you crossing back and forth between the two kingdoms. The king of that kingdom realizes that you still allow him to have power over you. You still subject yourself to his commands, and he's not threatened by your weekly visits to church. So this person is what the scriptures call out to be a carnal believer. The believer continues living the life in the old nature, the one that we were born into. The battle here is for our minds. It's for our spirit. Do we truly believe that and want to live in the kingdom of God? Or do we just kind of want to have one foot in this kingdom and one foot in this kingdom? These believers continue their life in the old way, in the old kingdom. They don't let the Spirit of God renew their mind to the new kingdom. We were born into the kingdom of sin. We know that. Everyone was. We were subject to our earthly desires. However, Jesus purchased us away from that, using his blood on the cross to do it. And when he died, and we died with him, he moves us into his kingdom. If we accept him as our Lamb of God, we'll be counted with him among his beloved. He will establish us in his kingdom if we let him. We will become his subjects if we let him. So maybe you haven't made the choice or decision and realize that there are two kingdoms, and you have a question, well, what happens when I become part of the kingdom of God? Well, first off, he begins to nourish us with his presence and his word, if you'll get into it and read it. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So God is saying, you're a newborn babe. You've just entered a new kingdom. You've been reborn. And you've got your old way that you're used to living your life, and now it's a new way. How do I change kingdoms? Because it's all taking place in the mind. Well, first off, get in the Word of God, because that's where he's going to start nurturing you. He's going to nurture you with milk to begin with. You know, you think about when you had your children and they were first born. And when they would wake up and need milk, what would they do? They would cry. And would they stop crying if you didn't give them anything to eat? No. You know, passage that God said is that his word is pure. We should have the same desire for the word of God as a young baby wanting food. We should be getting into the word. We should need the word in order to be fed. You know, the word spiritual also means logical. In the Greek language, God's word is logical. It makes sense. And it's simple. My wife is back here shaking her head because she knows me. You know, when I heard the gospel for the first time, There was this young lady, we were right out of high school, and she was trying to teach me the gospel, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I'd been taught the worldly things to begin with, and there was part of the battle, but my mind works logically. And this young lady who was trying to teach me the gospel didn't think logically and didn't teach logically, and she's laughing her head off because she knows this. So she actually invited me to go to a conference, which I'd never heard of. I didn't know anything about it, but I get to this conference, which was God's miracle, believe it or not. I'd been working, logging, and we were working every day till late hours. And that week, she had invited me to go, and I says, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it because we work so much. That week, every machine broke down. We didn't work at all that week, and God opened it up for me to go hear the gospel in a logical manner. So when he gave me the gospel in a logical manner, I was able to put it all together. Regardless of living in this sinful life that I was born into, I realized there was more. There had to be more. What a nasty place to live if this was all there is. But I heard about Jesus. I heard about God's love for me and his love for all of us. And I decided that's where I want to go. And this morning, I'm letting you know that there's two places to choose. I hope you've chosen the better place, because Satan's kingdom is not a pleasant place. When you look at words in the scriptures that talk about this lion seeking whom he could devour, yeah, there's my best friend. You know, life living just in every nasty way you can think of. That's the guy you want to stick around with? Not me. So when we look at something that's logical, it can't be ignored. It's illogical to ignore something that's logical. And no, Spock didn't say that from Star Trek, right? So we need the logical word of God so that we can increase in our wisdom of God and in God's word in order for us to grow spiritually. So as this milk, as we're beginning, we're getting God's milk, it nourishes us. We should begin to grow to handle some stronger teaching. So God doesn't expect us to be babes in this new spiritual world our whole life. He's wanting us to get out of that, to grow up and start getting a meal, some meat to chew on. Sadly, the church, and I'm not meaning this church, church as a whole, struggled to move to the next step. And this problem is nothing new. We can look at the church in Corinth. They struggled with this situation, and Paul had to address that. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, dear brothers and sisters, that's not the right one, is it? Yeah, that's it, but I'm going to read from mine, not that one. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. And you're jealous of one another, and you quarrel with each other. So if we take a look at that piece and we go, well, how, if they've joined God's kingdom, are they still struggling and quarreling with one another? Because God says that's not who I want you to be. Well, that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Because we have our old nature still pulling on us, even when we choose to switch kingdoms to God's kingdom. And we're going to battle that nature for the rest of our lives. But it's not hopeless, because God comes alongside of us and gives us the power and the strength to help us battle against it. And we need to take off pieces of that old self and put on pieces of the new kingdom and slowly get rid of that old nature that we were born with. that we've lived part of our life with. But when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become born into this new kingdom, and we still bring pieces of that old life in. We're still being controlled then by that old sinful nature, and we don't need to be. So you can ask yourself the question, am I still living like I was in the world? Or am I now living this new life, this new kingdom life that God has given me? So now to answer the next logical question, what will this spiritual milk reveal to me? Well, the answer is simple and it's exciting. And if I can get to the right one, it looks like I am not there. Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. You're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Are there secrets of the kingdom of heaven? Are there secrets there that we can go look for the answers in? And we're only going to know that if we're in God's word. And it's interesting because there are secrets that can only be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit living in us. And we only get the Holy Spirit living in us when we've switched kingdoms. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. So when we start looking at this question of, well, what's the scripture going to reveal to us? He unwraps this quite clearly here, that the more you learn, the more you see you need to learn, but he's going to continue to feed you in that learning. We're going to have an abundance of knowledge, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they do have will be taken away from them. There's a warning here. If you learn from God and then stop, he's going to start taking away pieces of things that you've learned. And you'll have to start over again. That's why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. So when Jesus was alive on the earth and he was teaching, he taught several parables. And we're aware of those parables. Those were the mysteries, part of those mysteries that God put together for us to delve into his word to help have an understanding of what God was talking about. And it is God's desire for us to understand the mysterious ways of God. He wants us to understand the victory that we have over our circumstances. He wants us to understand the power that we have over our enemy. So we've switched kingdoms, I hope. Once you've entered the kingdom of God, you're given the power over the kingdom you just came from. You don't belong to that kingdom anymore, but you have the power to say no to Satan. He wants us to understand about kingdom living. So if you're just now figuring this thing out, that I need to switch kingdoms, how does your role in the kingdom begin? Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. There we go. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. It says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Jesus says, listen, pay attention, gain some understanding, obey what you're about to learn. So the kingdom begins with a seed. Your role does the same. So as we listen to his teachings on this subject, we're going to learn that the seed is God's word. Almost all life begins with a seed. Seeds come in all sizes, but none is ever greater in size than the life that it produces. Seeds planted in the ground must struggle against layers of dirt to reach up and see the sunlight. James chapter 1, verse 21 tells us to humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart. So there's been a seed, and it's been planted in you, in me. God's implanted the kingdom in our hearts. This is where the kingdom resides. It may be small, but it needs to grow. A seed planted on the ground that never develops is useless. The kingdom planted in your heart that never develops and never grows is useless. And God promises to remove it. Let's continue in Matthew chapter 13, verses 4 through 9. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So the seeds get scattered, and there is no soil here in the story that gets left out. A farmer hearing this story would have seen the foolishness of the one sowing the seed. He would have recognized the fact that the crops don't do well when planted on a sidewalk or in a rocky soil or a thistle-laden area. He would know that it takes fertile soil for the crops to grow. But in the kingdom, seeds can grow where they should not. If the king desires, he can grow plants on sidewalks, in rocky soil, among the thorns. If you don't see the fact, look at our own hearts. Was your heart always fertile? I know mine wasn't. We're commanded to scatter seeds often in what we would think of as the most ineffective places. It's not that we have to go and find a fertile land in order to start throwing the seeds of God's word. He asks us to throw it wherever we're at. I'm going to share a command to you from our King, found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. He says, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds." So again, God gave us a parable. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to us, but now God's going to explain what the piece is. What is this meaning? So the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Have you ever been persecuted for believing God's word? Yeah, a little bit. Not like what we hear about in other countries where they get killed for it, but we're persecuted just the same. And just because we're being persecuted, does that mean that we should turn our backs on the kingdom of God? Absolutely not. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So most of us have been around a while. We've lived through life. Do these things get in the way of our understanding of who God is, the lure of wealth, worries of the life. God knows us. He built us. He designed us. He knows what we go through. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. The King, Jesus, has implanted the seed in your heart. What are you going to do with it? You going to let it grow, or are you going to let your enemy scoop it up and take it away? So this morning, we've looked into God's word. We put out to all of you that there are two kingdoms. And again, this is where the rubber meets the road. What kingdom do you choose? I know quite a few of you in the room, and I know that what choices you've made. I don't know all of you, but I hope that you take this seriously, because you're going to be in one kingdom or the other, and you get a choice. You can pick the kingdom you were born into, the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of Satan, who hates you. As a created person by God, he wants to destroy you. Or you can choose the kingdom of God, who's the King of Kings, the Lord of all. He loves you, and he wants more than anything for you to walk with him and talk with him, like we read about in Genesis when he created man and he created woman. He wanted them to have a nice life in the garden, some fellowship with himself. That's why he created us. You see, the battle for you and the battle for your mind is ongoing. The sinful nature we were all born into will continue to pull on us for as long as we live. It's battles for our minds. But as we change our heart to God and let the seed that he planted grow, he's going to give us the strength to overcome these troubles that we're going to have within our lives. You know, I got to put a little plug in here. You know, we've got to stay in the Word of God. And this summer, there's a summer set of Bible series and Bible studies. Get involved. You can't go and live a good, full Christian life if you're not in the Word. The more you're in the Word, the closer you're going to get to the Word, to God, and the better the kingdom living is going to be. If you just think you can do it every 7 days, come to church, it's not going to be enough. It is not going to be enough. As we accept Jesus Christ, God's own Son, as our living sacrifice, God will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will help you in this lifelong battle against the kingdom of God's enemies. Because trust me, he's going to continue to stay at you. For those of you who got to hear Pastor Chris's message about putting on the armor of God and being protected, it's because it is there. It's real. It's a real battle. We may not want to be in it, but we're in it. Those of you, us that have made the choice to endure the battle for our minds, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, the battle is more and more apparent. The closer you are to God, the more into God's word that you are, the more that you understand the character of God and the character that we need to be portrayed in this spiritual life, this spiritual kingdom, the more we see the other side, the more we see the battle. I'll put in another plug for the studies we've been doing on Sunday mornings for the last couple of years. We've been in this, dealing with this on a daily basis. How do we defeat Satan's attempts at trying to pull us away from a closeness with God? So again, try to get engaged, involved in some of these. This battle is for your spirit. And I know that we look at TV and we watch the battle things that go on in those shows. It's a battle against flesh. This is not what this battle is about. This battle is a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So I hope this morning that each of you have made the right choice so that when we're at your funeral, we'll know where you went. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that we could look at your word, that we could have a discussion about your kingdom, Father, and I just pray that you'd bless the words, you'd bless our hearts, and give us a greater understanding. Father, again, I thank you for each one here and those that are online with us, Father, that are hearing the word. You can just continue to grow us, to build us, to love us, but also, Lord, I pray your protection against the evil one. Allow us to not be in conflict, at least for a while, as we allow our seeds to grow, to get good roots. Father, I pray for anyone that's made a decision this morning to change kingdoms to yours, that you would just encourage their heart. Let them know and let us know how to encourage them. Pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.